Welcome back to the Talking Leadership TV podcast series. Our guest today is a friend of the podcast, Dr. Wade Azmi. I've spoken to Wade before on leadership, and today we're going to focus on reflective leadership practice. Wade's a CEO, strategic leadership consultant, coach and senior lecturer who operates in Australia, the Asia Pacific region and Dubai. I hope you'll enjoy this discussion as much as I did, but as always, enough from me, I'll hand over to Wade.
Thank you for joining me again, and a very warm welcome to Dr. Wade Azmi. Thank you for joining me, Wade.
My pleasure, Eric, and thank you for having me.
Look, you are a friend to the podcast, so I appreciate you coming back. And as I've said in previous episodes, I'm using 2024 to take a more concentrated look, if that's the right word, to certain aspects of leadership. And the idea of being a reflective leader practitioner came up a lot in various ways through the first lot of podcasts that I did. And so I took the opportunity to have a think about who I wanted to reach out to talk about this. And we had a conversation, it would have been just before the end of the new year, where, and I didn't know this, that you had an interest in reflective practice. And so this conversation is going to get particularly interesting because of your experience with leaders through your consulting work and your own leadership role. So thank you for joining me, mate. And to start the conversation, how do you grow your understanding of yourself as a leader? Give me an example of how you've done that in your own time as a leader.
Thanks, Eric. I think it's a combination of my development as a professional and my development as an academic, and how those two actually merge together eventually. So as an executive, I work in the C-suite in my corporate life, then in my management consulting career. And through that, I think we learn through a variety of professional development programs that I have been through myself, the importance of reflection and how the reflective practitioner can actually gain much in terms of their professional development through reflection. So that was one approach. The second approach that worked in parallel was actually my academic studies. One of the things I did after I left my corporate life, I actually went back to uni to finish my master's in coaching psychology. And the whole idea again was to focus on how I can develop myself and develop others, develop leaders. Now, these two together actually is what made my leadership and professional development of value at the end. But I should admit, the reflective practice is embedded in my development. And without it, I don't think I could have achieved much in my career. So yes, the professional development, the reflective practice is key to it. And definitely that's what facilitate and enable professional development of leaders in general. And that has been my experience, Eric, over the years. Yes.
That's an interesting response. And I would ask you, did the work on professional development of others trigger that deeper thinking, or was it your own leadership that triggered it, or was it a combination of the two?
That's a very good point. In my corporate career, I saw tens and tens, maybe hundreds at the end, actually, of good people who either failed, utterly failed in their leadership development, or they succeeded because they take the time to think about what happened. So that maybe was my first learning about it. And then I used that myself in my own development. And then when I studied coaching psychology, a good part of it was about the reflective practitioner, the work done by Scone in the 80s in his reflective practitioner book, which is now classic in reflection for professional practices. So that's maybe when I saw the science in reflection. So it started by observing others, then I attempted myself, and then I studied professionally. And that's what brought science to my career.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. It's interesting that digging deeper into why people reflect on their leadership practice can come from various different areas. And I guess if you're working in a space where you're developing others, looking back at what you did and why you did it is part of the DNA of being able to do that to chart a course forward. And I envy people that have that skill set. It's something that's an ongoing project for myself around to what degree do you reflect and how much information do you gather outside of yourself to do that? But that I'll come to that a little bit later. Let me ask you this. Do you make, or in previous roles from a leadership perspective, have you made the time to reflect on your practice, or did you reflect after a key decision or key event? So what I'm asking here is that do you do the process or engage in the process, sorry, of reflection because it's just inbuilt, or was it often triggered by a key decision or event?
That's a good point, actually. Obviously, at the early stage of my career, when I didn't have the skills, because I don't think reflection is an innate ability. I think it's an ability you gain over time. So at the beginning of my career, probably I was an event-based reflector. So I will wait for something to happen and then I reflect on it. And which means most of the time it's a bad thing that happened. And then you reflect on it and you learn. But over time, I started to differentiate between what Scott defined as reflection in action and on action, and how these two processes need to happen all the time. In action means during the event, while you are engaged, reflect on your responses, on other responses. See if you set yourself a goal, is what you're doing and what the others are doing are actually bringing you closer to the goal or not. If it is, that means you are on the right track. If not, reflect on what does it mean for you? What does it mean for others? And then try to find the right action while you are standing on your feet. But that requires a lot of thinking on your feet type of approach to interactions in general. And then, of course, the other part of it, which is a reflection on action, and that's post-mortem, basically, after every episode, every event, at the end of the week, monthly. And this is when I started to develop maybe deeper sense of what reflection means. So it is a development process. It's not an innate ability. And it took some time, actually, Eric, to build it up to what it is today, which is actually more of a Sunday evening discussion. As a matter of fact, today is Sunday. And after I finish with you, I have some quiet time on my desk when I just go through my calendar for the week. What happened this week? What was the major events? What went right? What went wrong? And if there's anything during the week that I marked for further thinking, this is the time. This is the time to think about it. I'm very interested here in a very simple concept. I call it the what, the so what, and the now what. The what is try to understand exactly what happened. The so what is what does it mean? What does it mean for me? Because I need to, I need meaning. Anyone in reflection needs meaning. And if I can define this, the meaning, then what I'm going to do about it? Now what? What I'm going to do about it? And this is really maybe the cycle that I go through it. The what, the so what, and now what?
I have often thought, and probably incorrectly, and I'm glad I've got you here to have the conversation, that reflection is innate in people, but not to the degree that you might find in seasoned professionals, seasoned volunteers, people that have lived some life. I think, and this is a personal reflection, no pun intended, that as you live your life and you make mistakes and you have some wins or there's a neutral outcome, you're thinking about, oh shit, well, what could I have done better? What was necessary to get a better outcome? And that three-pronged look at things, the what, the so what, and the now what, is a very interesting way for someone like me to compartmentalize, because I like to put things in boxes to help me think and sort of tease things out. And what I would ask you next is, based on my review of some of the reflective literature, and again, this is a very surface level to start here, that I look at some of the literature and think to myself, reflective practice is primarily an individual pursuit. If it's not, happy for you to disagree, but in your application of the process, do you go out to external sources for feedback on how you've reflected? And I might take you back to the now what part of that three-pronged thinking that you just brought up, because I would assume that better action into the future, better strategic thinking, better ability to apply foresight and think about what the future might be is very much informed by the wisdom of others that you bring to your own thinking. Am I on the right track here? Have I gone off the rails?
I think you are raising a very good point here. People may, especially those who may not have developed reflective skills, may see reflection as an inner process that doesn't involve anyone else. And the problem with that is the same thinking that created the problem cannot fix the problem. And what you need to do is to open the doors a little bit. So it's important to invite feedback or collect it. As much as you can in order to incorporate this into your reflection. Diverse perspectives definitely are very useful and beneficial for any individual who want to grow. Look at the angle from different perspectives. But there is also an important element here. The person pursue here, if it intends to eliminate other perspectives, that means we really not paying enough attention to our blind spots because we cannot identify it on our own. It's only when invite feedback from others that we can identify our blind spots through feedback. And it can also help to validate or contradict what we think. So that's also another input that is important for us as individuals. When we collect this feedback, it will help us to validate or contradict what we think. And of course, that will develop a holistic view of what's happening instead of just focusing on what I think. And I believe all of this is about a continuous improvement process that we need to go through. The more we bring in from the outside into our reflective practice, I think the better outcomes we get because we don't only need to worry about the what, I think we also need to worry about the metacognition, the thinking behind thinking. We need to think about how we think. And that cannot be explored independently. We need someone to help us to realize how we think.
Challenging your own thinking, your own preconceived notions can only really happen with the input of others to at least challenge your basic assumptions. And I look, from my own experience, I'm only speaking for me. I think it takes a lot of leaving your ego at the door to allow someone in and not just open the door a smidge. It's to open up and say, right, here's where my thinking process is. What, give me some critical feedback. And by that, I mean constructive. And I think there is an assumption in that process that you've got the ability to make that invitation as non-confronting as you can, and that the person receiving the information is going to give you constructive rather than destructive feedback. And why I bring this particular point up is in previous discussions, the idea of bringing what I would call honest, constructive feedback to, say, a superior in a business is a very difficult proposition at the best of times, because these are the people that hold the purse strings and are your bosses. And I would challenge anyone to come and speak with me to say that process is a very easy one to go and give your boss constructive and honest feedback. And I think that word about honest, an honest critical feedback is important if you're going to learn something. What's your view there, mate?
My view here is, of course, the boss's view is important. We cannot ignore this, but I don't think it's adequate or sufficient to help you to progress as a professional. I think identifying professionals or people around you whom you trust not only at a personal level, but you trust their thinking, you trust their observation, you trust their capacity to observe and analyze and give you a good input about what they saw and why it is that way is a very good approach, for feedback that can supersede the quality you're getting from the boss. I also would like to trigger a mechanism, the assertive communication mechanism, as a way to capture feedback. So instead of asking for feedback, I will assert my views or input in an assertive manner around the topic, around the issue of someone I'm talking to. And I'll tell them what I think, what I feel, what I need, what I want, just basic assertiveness. And then at the end, I ask him, what's your views on this? Now, the views is actually feedback because it will tell me how far I am from the point. So that also can be a subtle way to capture feedback if we are shy or embarrassed to directly ask for feedback.
Yeah, sure. And it, I think from my, again, I'll bring my own practice here that certain people make that process very easy and want that to grow as professionals, whereas others, I think, have been dragged kicking and kicking and screaming to that point, and really don't give to are not really invested, sorry, in getting that particular feedback, and they're the narcissists and the sociopaths that we often will come across in the world of work. Those people exist, and I, good luck to them. But those people are out there, and look, it's never an easy thing. But it this idea about being a reflective leader practitioner to me is important, because like some of those people that might be listening to the podcast and those that are following the podcast, if you're in a leadership position, if you're not reflecting on your own practice, what does that potentially lead to in the future? And I'm not going to use the term it makes you any less of a leader, but it is a tool that I think is underutilized in the tools that we have as professionals to get better at the things that we do. Now, all that said, how you reflect is different from person to person. So the deep dive that you've been describing is critical, but are there other forms of that reflection that don't take that more formal approach, or is the more formal structured approach better? Again, from your experience, Wade?
I think what I experienced, not only as myself but with my clients, leaders whom I support either in coaching from coaching capacity or from a management capacity, I think the whole concept of developing regular time and on a specific time actually when you really the neuroscience told us that reflection require a calm mindset. We cannot be in our autopilot mode that we are during the day to reflect. So we need really to ensure that we differentiate between the mindset for reflection and the mindset for every day's work. And this mindset for reflection require calmness, require that we calm the senses and we start really to retrieve from the memory the happenings, not only in terms of the words and the narratives, in terms of sensing the emotions, sensing the environment, the context, the contents, and how it flows between the individual, where it started, where it ended, and then learn from it. This process takes time. So the best thing really is to first allocate time. Without time, nothing will happen. Obviously, executives are busy, and priorities of other things usually overshadow the need for reflection. And those who have biases to our action against reflection probably will end into action, not reflection. So you really need here an intentional effort to create the space. That's the first thing. The second thing really is be able to dive deep and try to put the biases aside and try to detach yourself as much as you can in order to understand really what happened, why we ended with this, what led me into this. What the other end was trying to achieve, and I stopped them from achieving, and start to think the process, whether it is an interaction with an employee, a strategy decision, a merger and acquisition that went wrong, a customer that is unhappy and made a big complaint about the company, whatever it is that's happening, or maybe it was my partner at home, whatever it is. We need to stop and really think about it. What happened? Where it started, where it ended. And again, back again to the simple, maybe language I used earlier, the what, the so what, and now what. And the so what, you'll get into the meaning. What does it mean for me? What does it mean for others? And I'd like to think on the three dimensions. What does it mean for me, for others, now and over time? So if nothing changed today, from today till 5 years from now, what does it mean? And if it changed, what does it mean? And from there, I start to find better ways to improve and shift things. I try to help my clients to get into this habit, Eric, as much as I can. And the more deeper they get, I think the more they are in control of the lives of the business. And it's about learning the technique and then see the value of it. And then that's it, they become a habit. Reflection, I think, is a habit. Once you develop it, you cannot live without it.
Yeah, sure. Now, the final area I'd like to talk to you about, Wade, if I could, is, and you've mentioned a few in our discussion to this point, is what tips would you provide a leader listening to this podcast about potentially improving their reflective practice? What, from your experience, what would you give us some advice to those that might be listening to this conversation?
I think incorporating reflection into the leadership processes, strategy, thinking, planning require time. And it required quiet time. So again, reflection required time, required quiet time. Incorporating reflection into your thinking processes around business processes is important. And if you can make use of it through capturing something that you can review, like journaling, as an example, I find journaling a very useful tool, that reflective journal, just reflect by writing so you can come back and revisit what happened. I think that's important. If you can do that, that's great. And as on a regular basis, capture feedback that can help you also to adjust as much as you can. As you reflect on both the positives and negatives. You do not only reflect on what went wrong, reflect on what went right as well, the successes and how you can improve on it. Consider all different perspectives as you see this, because something you may see as a failure, others may not see it so bad. So try to incorporate this as well. And then at the end of it, set goals for how you're going to recover from this. This is the now what, really. See how you're going to recover from this. What else that you can do in order to move forward? And start to establish models or frameworks that can guide your thinking so you become more efficient as you consider this and as you make decisions. Because sometimes we dive deep into reflection and then we find it difficult to make decisions. But if you really start to use some of the frameworks or models that can help you to make decisions based on your reflection quicker, you'll see great value. And it will be like, you know how we go to the shower in the morning and you get this aha moment? Something come to your mind while you are in the shower. The same thing will happen in the reflection if you have a framework or, to make decisions. So instead of being lost in the details, you actually can move from the so what to the now what quicker. And I would like maybe to bring what Socrates said, which I think is something we all heard, and it's directly related to reflection. An unexamined life is a life not worth living. And that's what reflection is all about, examining your life.
Wow. On that very wise note, I'd like to end the podcast. Thank you, Wade, for your time today, mate. That was great.
My pleasure, and thank you for having me.
No worries. For those listening, this has been the Talking Leadership TV podcast series. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day, rest of your week, and we'll catch everyone on the next episode of the podcast.